Good evening. Welcome to The Big Fight. Winter is coming. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, you think about White Walkers and a wall and all sorts of horrible things coming at you from the north. But if you live in North India, Winter is Coming has an equally scary symbolism for you, because it really means this is the time of temperature inversion. This is the time when air pollution starts to spike. This is the time when your eyes start to burn, your lungs start to hurt, and you start to choke. And then you start thinking about the impact of the air that you're breathing on your families, on little children, on babies who've just been born. And then you start to think about some of the statistics. You start thinking about the reports that you have read that a child in North India, places like Delhi, by the time that child is 5 years old, would have smoked the equivalent of 10,000 cigarettes. If that doesn't scare you, those are statistics that should scare you. Other statistics will come to your mind. A statistic which says that something like 1.2 million people die every single year in India thanks to air pollution. Now, let's just try and deconstruct that. How many people does that come down to an hour? 200 people per hour, something like that, dying because of air pollution. We've started the big fight right now. By the time you end the show, 200 people will have died because of air pollution. Think about that happening in any other field. Think about there being one Elphinstone train stampede an hour. Think about a jumbo jet crashing every single day. Think about, I mean, you could just extrapolate that to anything. Every terror attack that has taken place in Kashmir over 20 years happening in 1 month in India. And that's what air pollution is doing to us. And what do we end up doing? We end up debating, we end up discussing, we end up talking about it year after year after year. 2 years ago, a prominent columnist, Gardner Harris of New York Times, when he left India, said, it's unethical to bring up your child in a city like Delhi because of the impact that air pollution is having on that child. What have we done about it? Well, we've spoken, we've talked, we've discussed. Now, first signs of action starting to be taken. We're starting to talk about what should we do about crop burning in Punjab. And on this show, I'll take you through that. What is happening on that? Why is it that no real action is taking place? What are the solutions? Now, you're having for the first time the Supreme Court banning the sale of crackers in Delhi. And that, by the way, by itself led to such a furor. A lot of people came in and said, oh, this is anti-Hindu, this is against Hindu festivals, and it's fine for children not to be allowed to breathe, but it's more important for them to be allowed to burn crackers, or words to that effect. And at the end of the day, the Supreme Court eventually had to step in, and the Supreme Court had to come in and saying, it is sad that something like this is being given a communal colour. And then the other things to talk about, why is it that there's no active action being taken to prevent construction dust? Why is it that we are not having proper sweeping of the roads to make sure that that dust doesn't come and get held up in the air? Why is it that we don't have tougher emission norms on vehicles? A range of questions need to be answered, because at the end of the day, air pollution is not just about crop burning, although it is partly about that. It's not just about Diwali firecrackers, although it's partly about that. It's about a plethora of reasons, and all of them must be addressed. And we should have been doing little else over the last 2 or 3 months than sitting and actively trying to figure out how we can prevent 1 million people from dying every year thanks to air pollution. We've got a range of experts with us on the program today who are hopefully going to come and tell us what is happening, what should be happening, and what we can actually do going forward. Starting with Anumita Roy Chaudhary, works at the CSC, has been doing a lot of great work on air pollution, was telling me a few weeks ago that she thinks it could be better this year, but now not looking quite as confident as she once was. And we'll look at some of the data to see whether that's actually the case or not. Ashutosh from the Aam Aadmi Party is here. Delhi, one of the worst affected cities, often becomes the poster child for air pollution in India. But it should be noted, this is not just a Delhi problem. This is a problem across North India. Hundreds of millions of people are affected by this, not just the residents of Delhi. Samshed Sharif, former Secretary General of the Rajya Sabha, former Principal Secretary Home, Government of NCT, has been leading a campaign, as have many others, one of those who have been leading a campaign to say, let's do something about this, and let's do something about this really fast. We have with us Rahul Ishwar, joining us from Trivandrum, author, activist, thinks too much is being made of this entire ban on crackers, doesn't know why that ban on crackers has come in the first place, so we'll get his views on why he feels that way. Sandeep Singh joining us as well, who has similar views. And we are also going to be joined by Devinder Sharma, joining us from Chandigarh on what can actually be done to sort out this stubble burning crisis, which is unfortunately still happening in Haryana and in Punjab. And finally, great to have with us Dr. Naresh Trehan, founder chairperson, Medanta. All right, let's just first try and establish, as we have unfortunately been trying to do year after year, trying to get people to first recognize that there is a crisis. Why is it, Anumita, that we're not recognizing there's a crisis out here?
I think today you are beginning to see a lot more conversation around this. But what is not getting translated into is into public support for hard decisions. And when we're beginning to look at the numbers, and people need to understand that the last Diwali smog, which was the horrendous smog that had happened, I mean, never ever in the history we have seen that kind of levels, even higher than the level during the London smog. But that had triggered certain action in this city, which led to, because of the Supreme Court, the designing of the gradient response action plan. And since then, we are beginning to see certain change. And therefore, when we're looking at the data now, it's interesting, this year, the levels are not as high as previous year. But since October 1, we have already seen an increase of about 64%. And that's where the warning bell comes
64% spike increase has already happened. Yes. A lot of the debate over the last week or 10 days has been Diwali firecrackers. It's important. We will discuss that, and we should discuss that. Important to remember and recognize that's not the only factor. It's a scientific fact that October, November, December, January, there is a pollution spike in North India. It is partly caused by weather factors. There's a weather inversion over places like Delhi, so the pollutants remain trapped. So what may not have been a big problem in the monsoon becomes a big problem in October, November, December. However, as she said, Diwali sometimes acts as a trigger. This, for example, is what happened last year. 283 was the figure during Dasera, right? So 283, already this is at the poor mark. Just after Diwali, and there was talk already last year that we should try and avoid firecrackers. And by the way, in cities like Delhi and other places across North India, children have been leading that drive. Many kids just don't allow their parents to set off firecrackers anymore. I grew up loving firecrackers. I used to set them off. My kids don't allow me to set them off anymore. They say, you know, as a matter of policy, we won't do it. So anyway, but this is what happened in Diwali last year. Went to 431. Those are emergency conditions. 431 was on Diwali, and the day after Diwali, it went to 445, and then it remained for a long period of time before it started to come out. This year, the Sarah was 198. So it's better, much better than it was last year. Now let's see what's going to happen this year, especially in places like Delhi. It might be a particular benefit because the Supreme Court has banned the bursting of firecrackers, something which actually led to quite a storm. So before I come to the others and look at it, let's just turn our attention to the storm. So first issue, the Diwali firecracker issue. Rahul, you among others have been saying this ban should not have been instituted. Why have you been saying that?
We all accept the premise that air pollution is very serious and we need to do something drastic about it. No contention regarding that. But having said that, we can have regulations, but not a blanket ban or a restriction.
Rahul, if I could just interrupt you in mid-flow, there is a difference, right? This is something where kids who are setting off firecrackers could be imperiling the life of somebody next to them. You know how many cigarettes equivalent it is if you're burning? You know one of those things called snakes? You set them off. 446 cigarettes, that's the equivalent. Puljari, 200 cigarettes. People around you could be smoking that. That's the problem. And when it comes to the religious aspect of it, as many people have been pointing out, let's face it, gunpowder was only invented about 200 or 300 years ago in China, by the way. So it's not as if historically, as a cultural matter, crackers have been something always associated with Diwali. Diwali is a festival of celebration. It was celebrated by lights, by diyas, by worship, by Ganesh and Lakshmi Puja. All of those are intrinsic to it, more perhaps than crackers are. Why are you saying that the crackers are an intrinsic part of it? I mean, through most of history, they couldn't have been because gunpowder wasn't invented.
I partially concede both arguments, but it has become so assimilated to our culture that you cannot give a cultural shock one fine day. There are other occasions where people use firecrackers too. For example, December 31st, New Year, many people do burn firecrackers. So there is only ban on Diwali or during the time of Diwali.
100% agree with you. If there's a ban on the bursting of crackers during Diwali because it is adding to air pollution, I think that should be extended. You should have no bursting of crackers in North India from October till February, which are the months where the air pollution is higher. Shamshir, let me just come to you before I go to Sandeep. That's a valid point. It shouldn't only be Diwali. You should be saying no bursting of crackers on New Year's. Anybody bursting crackers, Christmas, New Year's, wedding season, all of that should be stopped because all of that's adding to air pollution. You've been running a campaign on this. Would you agree with that?
Number one, why do we have a campaign? The campaign is right to breathe. We've heard of many things. There are two basic issues if you want to live. One is water and the other is air. There's no point talking about development or anything else if you didn't have this. If there's no life, then what's it all about? So unless you have water, of which we have a severe problem, and now to that you've added air. But the issue hasn't really begun today either in Delhi or just it's a part of Delhi. As you rightly said, it's part of North India, but it's the whole country as a whole. It was way back in 1987 that people started the campaign. But today, why has it changed to this level? It has changed to this level because it has become critical. And if because of it has become critical, you can't just sit back and say, let's have another debate, let's have another solution. You cannot, you have to. There is no such thing as a failure. Failure is no longer an option.
Okay, Sandeep Singh, I'm just sticking on the cracker cracker issue for a couple of minutes. You again are one of those who's felt that banning crackers is wrong. Supreme Court has just come out and said it is wrong to give this a communal color, and they are saddened by the fact that this has been given a communal color. How would you react to that?
Dr. Gustav Oppert, an expert in the firecrackers, has documented it that firecrackers were invented in India before China, and it was in Shukraniti. And verse 206 to 208 clearly talks about pyrokinetics. I can cite many examples like that. But having said that, you know, it's different judgments of Supreme Court which makes me look it through the prism of religion. Because I'm all for it. If 4 hours of not burning crackers on Diwali will solve the problem of Delhi's pollution, I'm all for it. But we have seen for a month odd even couldn't solve it. I've visited various sites of the people who have filed cases, you know, different NGOs. None of them list Diwali as a reason for pollution in Delhi. They talk about power plant or transportation. So all this put together makes me look through the eyes of religious prism.
Look at the data. I mean, last year on Diwali and the day after Diwali, pollution spiked to 445. Now look, everyone loves Diwali. No one's ever going to contest that we should not be celebrating Diwali. I guess it's only this aspect of it, which is the bursting of crackers, because there is a crisis to do with air pollution, which is why this particular thing is coming up.
99% there is a pollution. Diwali may be adding that 1%, so Diwali becomes a target and we are not bothered about rest of the 99%.
No, okay, valid point. We should address the rest of the 99%. On this show, we are going to do that. Everything needs to be fixed. You're not going to solve the air pollution crisis in Delhi.
1%, you know, why start with 1%?
Frankly, you've got to address all of it. You've got to stop every single thing. It's an emergency. You've got to stop all aspects of it. Rahul, just come back to you one more issue on this. Lots of NRIs have been coming in and saying, oh, this is shocking and you must allow it. And fine, it's very easy for somebody to be sitting in Seattle or somebody to be sitting in Virginia or somebody to be sitting in some beach in the Caribbean and saying it's okay, you know, Delhi should celebrate Diwali and who cares if children can't breathe anymore. You, Rahul, are sitting in Trivandrum. I envy you. You're sitting there next to the ocean, beautiful sea breezes blowing. Why don't you come out here and spend Diwali with us? And then you'll get a sense of what it really means.
I'm coming to Delhi tomorrow because our Sabarimala case is there. I concede that argument, but there is...
You're coming to Delhi tomorrow is all very well. Please tell us you're going to stay on with us till Diwali. Celebrate Diwali here with the residents of Delhi. That evening, next day, stay here, walk the streets, breathe the air, and then I will concede whatever you want to say on Diwali firecrackers. Because some of us, hey, the audience banned me, we don't have a choice, we are here.
See, look at the verdicts like Jellicutter, look at, you know, waterless Holi, crackerless Diwali, noiseless Dandiya, Sabarimala, Kambala. So many verdicts came together that many people feel there is a systematic slant. I didn't raise a communal argument, I didn't equate it with the Eid or Christmas because I didn't want to give it a communal spin.
Yeah.
But a section of Hindus, especially very voice-powerful Hindus, feel that there is a slight systemic bias towards us.
You know, the
and
courts...
many verdicts are giving which are culturally a bit insensitive. To Hindus.
Okay, the court did intervene in triple talaq right now, just not that long back. I've seen television channels saying what's happening about nikah halala, which is, again, those are also cultural aspects. And we've done shows out here saying that why on earth this is a cultural aspect. And by the way, the negative externalities of that are not quite as much as here. Ashutosh, is this an anti-Hindu bias to say don't burst crackers in Diwali?
I don't think it's anti-Hindu bias in that sense, because the court has to do a duty and court is doing that duty. But the point is the court has been very, very inconsistent on this particular issue. Last year, you're giving the example of the last year. Last year, Supreme Court has banned these crackers. What they did not ban crackers bursting, they banned crackers selling. On 12th of September of last month, 12th September 2017, the same Supreme Court has vacated the stay on the banning on the ban on the sales of the crackers. And within 2-3 weeks, Supreme Court again is banning selling of the crackers. So there is an inconsistency in the Supreme Court, the point number one. The point number two, have you thought about those traders who started getting these crackers and started selling these crackers? What happened to them? All through in the last 1 month, they have prepared that they will get some money. They were already dead by demonetization, already dead by the GST, and now you are killing them by doing something like this. So Supreme Court, this order is again a knee-jerk reaction. The point number three, the most important, we are talking about the humans. What about those animals? My dogs get mad. I have to take care of them. They have to push them, shove them in some corner.
I agree with what a lot of you are saying. Sandeep, let me get you in here. You need a more coherent policy, and at an emergency level, we need to handle this. Sandeep, you were trying to say something.
When you raise that triple talaq, I just wanted to say the court said, though it's not mentioned in Quran, it's a 1400-year practice. So they didn't give a verdict. They just put a 6 months ban and passed the buck to the government. So the Supreme Court has been, as Ashutosh says, has been inconsistent. They are very sensitive to other religion, except when it comes to Hindus.
Okay. I do not agree with him.
Sandeep,
just trying to communalize the issue. That's
Sandeep, I notice you are in Mumbai. I was just asking Rahul this question. Would you like to come and spend Diwali here, the day there and the day after?
This year I do plan to, as a mark of protest.
Oh, you're going to come to Delhi? I'm so happy to hear that. Come. And, you know, then I think is when we really get a sense of it. All right. The point of a coherent policy can't be flip-flops. We're already seeing some people saying, as a mark of protest, as you rightly said, there are people who are actively planning this year on Diwali. They're going to buy crackers from elsewhere, come here, distribute them for free among children to, say, burst them.
What the experts have told us is horrific. I mean, we are talking about something like, I don't want to raise the levels, but you're talking about something horrific as Hiroshima. Because you're talking about deaths, which are slow, inevitable deaths.
Actually,
now, having said all that,
just to be clear on this, 1 million people dying in a year because of air pollution, worse than Hiroshima. Not that many people didn't die in Hiroshima.
So give it a thought. And
so
give it a thought.
That's actually something to keep in mind. More people are going to die of air pollution in India this year than died in Hiroshima.
That's why I say let's not.
My data is not completely correct. It might be Hiroshima plus Nagasaki, for all you know.
But that's why I say.
About the Supreme Court inconsistency?
Yes, that's
it's a valid point.
3 weeks back, you're vacating the stay.
Now we come to policy.
Actually, I don't want to turn. I want to get.
Not banning the busting of the crackers, but selling of the crackers.
Okay,
this
you
is
need a consistent policy. I'm going to come to some of the other aspects of that, but Dr. Trehan, help us understand this, because this. I sometimes when I look at these statistics, I say no, it can't possibly be correct. Now, you, as one of the most respected doctors in the country, tell us, if we need to get scared, scare us. I mean, is it really true 1.2 million people are dying of air pollution? Is it really true that by the time a child reaches the age of 5, he or she would have smoked 10,000 cigarettes? Is it true that cognitive development of children in places like Delhi is being affected? You know, is all of this true?
Absolutely, and if anything, it's underreported. We see, you are on a daily basis almost living in a gas chamber. Delhi is actually, should be unlivable for human beings. Somehow we are coping, okay. It's true that all other things must be looked at and stopped. But the part of that blame goes to the citizens of Delhi. Every time they see the pollution by naked eye that is choking them, they rise up in arms, and then the rest of the year we are gone to sleep. This is civil society, which must take on the mantle themselves. If you keep talking about courts and governments and things like that, you know, they can just do so much. But today we are debating something else. We are sitting 2 days, 3 days away from Diwali. We are talking about the fact that you're already existing in this environment. Some years ago, I put out pictures of two lungs, because we operate every day. We see them every day. Lungs of a Delhiite and lungs of a Himachalite. The Himachalites are baby pink. The Delhiites are full of charcoal. So you're already, your starting point is very dangerous to begin with. Now you say for a week or so, you will convert this into hell. And the hell goes sequentially. You take babies, most vulnerable. Young children, second most vulnerable. Adults who have developed some sort of lung problems or have asthma or allergies, they are at a total disaster. Our hospitals get full at this time. Today, I hope that this Diwali, we will see a difference. Okay, timing of Supreme Court judgment will produce a lot of hardship on some people. I think that's okay. That's a given. And anything that can be done to mitigate that should be done. It's ultimately our responsibility to take care of all the citizens. But at the same time, nothing will justify that you add not only pollutants, which are suspended particles and carbon and stuff like that, you are actually putting out noxious gases which will affect everybody, especially children who are brains can actually suffer the developmental phase. You're talking about neurological problems for life. This is nothing joke.
I think
the last thing you want to do is to communalize it.
Yeah.
I mean, we are all very, used to be the most fond of crackers, I must admit. But now that the reality has changed, we must change with the reality. We must protect our human beings, our children, our future generations. I think it's a mute. Why would you want to do? Yes, you should take care of those people who actually bought the stuff, and maybe the government should buy it and go bury it somewhere or decontaminate it somewhere. I think that would be a reasonable solution.
Can I just get some medical opinion from you on this? So, I mean, a couple of medical issues. Number one, health issues caused by pollution across the board, right? Irritation of the eyes, nose, throat, coughing, reduced lung function, irregular heartbeat, asthma attacks, heart attacks, premature death, cognitive development of children. All of this correct?
Correct, absolutely.
All of them
correct.
All of it is. Okay.
See, the second, first few you named, like irritation to the eye, throat, these are temporary things. You can cope with it. The lungs are a sponge.
Are we seeing a spike in lung cancer in Delhi, you think, because of air pollution?
There's no data to really show that it's, and it'll take 20 years for it to develop or 10 years for it to develop. Yes, we are seeing more and more lung cancer, definitely, whether it's better detection or pollution.
So the air that that's an interesting factor. Just because you survived this winter doesn't mean that the air you'll have breathed in the next 1 month will not eventually kill you. Because the
definitely
air that you're breathing
that's
right now could give you lung cancer and kill you 10 years from now.
That's where I told you that
we are living
in a gas chamber.
I think you need to talk about
and
that.
And this is, so you distinguish.
Okay.
First, you are saying the most dangerous is, the most obvious is the suspended particulate matter. The counts go up beyond the meters can measure. So after 1,000, you can't even measure it. So it goes up to 1,700, 1,800. Now that gets accumulated in the periphery of your lung.
Okay. So and as somebody, causes cancer. As somebody who will confess that I used to love firecrackers, right, and I used them till just a couple of years back. These figures that I got from somewhere, let me again get your medical opinion on them, those snakes that I used to actually adore, you know, when I was a kid, you light right. them and that little thing comes out, equivalent to 464 cigarettes. Does that sound right to you? Ladi of 1,277 cigarettes, Phuljadi 74 cigarettes, Chakri 68 cigarettes, Anar 34 cigarettes. Does that sound roughly correct to you?
Almost, but Anars are actually much more lethal than that's given there. And those Ladis are also disaster. But those snakes, okay. I doubt that data.
That may not be. Okay, fine. Phew. That's one relief. Because I can't think of how many snakes I must have burnt in my life. I'm trying to think of what the state of my lungs must be. And I might as well smoke and not worry about it. All right. I don't want to shift the focus a little bit. Let's just move from, it's not just about Diwali firecrackers. Let's be clear on that. There are other issues we should turn our attention to. For example, crop burning. Why is it that we can't get a certain amount of consensus around saying we will not be burning crops in Punjab, in Haryana, places like that? Now, look at these. These are some of the latest figures you can see. This is October the 1st. You can see it starting off the little part of Punjab out there. Last 10 days, look at the way it is spreading. By the 6th, it's here. These are some of the latest images that we have got out here. Take a look at it. All around this area, Haryana, no wonder Delhi is in a mess. It's surrounded all parts of it. It's happening in Punjab. Crop burning coming from Pakistan as well. So this, Ashutosh, is something we can certainly also blame Pakistan for. Devinder Sharma, I just want to turn to you on this because you've written an article saying crop burning is being entirely done in a manner that the farmers right now are being told you've got to stop doing this or else and penalties are coming on them. And you're saying that's not exactly the right way to do it. Why do you feel that way?
As far as crop burning is concerned, the compulsion that the farmer has is that he has a window of about 15 odd days. What happens is he has to harvest his paddy crop, then he has to market it, And after marketing, he has also to ensure that he is sowing the or making the land available or making it fit for sowing the next crop. So he's only got a window of 15 days. Now, this is a practice that has happened on for the last 35 years, or at least I have seen. And every time, you know, I find it is worsening. There's no denying that crop burning adds on to pollution. But the way the National Green Tribunal struck, saying that you need to ban and punish farmers and putting them behind bars or fining them, or now saying that, you know, there'll be red entry in your passbook and so on. All these measures I thought were not required.
Frankly, I guess in the defense of the National Green Tribunal and the defense of the courts, they may well say, look, we've left it to you for decades to try and fix air pollution. If you're not fixing it, we have no choice but to somehow step in. Now, the point that you made, during the Cleanathon on the 2nd of October, Captain Amrinder Singh joined us and we threw that question to him saying, are we going to see something being done? What he actually had to say about that did not really give too much cause for hope that something will be done this year. Take a look at what he said.
Farmers who are committing suicide every day. Every day I have one person going because they can't make two ends meet. And we've asked Government of India that you at least give us a bonus on the per quintal produced, which could be given to the farmers so that they can use that extra effort into digging out the paddy waste and they don't have to then burn it. But, you know, we are not getting any help from there. On our own, Punjab is not in a position to do it. So if we have to implement it and we have to go, I mean, the farmers have just been on strike. They've been sitting on railway lines and everywhere and said that we don't care about these laws. We are going to go ahead. That means confrontation with the government. We don't want that either, because the farmer in any case is having a major problem. So monitoring is one side, but we must get the cooperation of the union government to assist us in this. And we have already taken it up with them. I hope something is going to come forth from there.
All right. So Ashutosh, this is going to become a political game again. I mean, I'm sure the Delhi government is asking Haryana to do something. Haryana must be asking Punjab to do something. All of them are saying, well, you know, why aren't you doing something? So we seem to be back to square one on this.
The one reason that why we are fighting for the metro price rise in Delhi, but the simple reason, because it just because of the price rise, 10% of the ridership has gone down. Now, the issue is that all of us has to sit together. Haryana government has to talk to the Punjab government to Delhi government, and all of them has to sit together and find a solution.
Okay. All right. You know how this works. You've been principal secretary.
If you permit me to come in here, I came down 30 years ago in 1987 to kickstart the program for pollution control by automobile exhaust. We had no technology. We had no nothing. The media helped us. The people helped us. Awareness started. Unless you have awareness, and you have to have it at three levels, the individual, the group, and the state or the government. The individuals are people like us who run campaigns and things like that to get it going. A group of ladies got together, started Right to Breathe, moved a petition before the Supreme Court, things have started moving, etc. Now, that's the individual effort. The group effort is we've got centers like the Center for Science and Environment, which have done human service starting from 1987. Where have we got? Why is there no policy? Why is there no parking policy? What are we doing about road engineering? These are things that should happen 24/7.
I'm going to come to all of those issues also. Crop burning, is there a simple solution that you can think
of? So very recently, when Niti Aayog looked into this, they found that only in NCR region, they are burning about 21 million tons of paddy straw. And out of that, we are able to reutilize only 5 million. Now, solutions are known. So solutions are either you mulch them and use them as fertilizer, or you take them to the power plant or make other materials out of it. But where the governments have completely failed is to enable these solutions, build infrastructure for this, and also sensitize farmers about the fact that if they mulch, they actually reduce their fertilizer cost by 20%. And if you can increase the economic value of the straw and build a business model for the entrepreneurs to step in fact, this year, NTPC has come forward to pick up straw from Punjab. Now, therefore, these are all so doable because no one is paying attention to the details of implementation and only focusing on, which is not very right, penalizing the farmer. I mean, here the SUV driver goes away scot-free and there you are penalizing the farmer.
Okay, so continue. Devinder, actually we thought that this year would be fine because the farmers would have been able to get that. Doesn't seem to have happened.
Well, I think we need to understand one thing very clearly, that the farmer is not a foolish man. He understands it's an environmental pollution that he is causing. It's affecting him. It's affecting his soil. He knows all those things. He also knows that it could be used for mulching and so on and so forth. But the problem is that it entails cost. It entails about 5,000 rupees per acre as additional cost, and his income is 3,400 rupees per month. Why can't government provide, let's say, a bonus of 200 rupees per quintal on paddy, whatever is harvested? After all, if just for 1% rise in DA, government can spend 3,000 crore rupees, why can't 2,000 crores be provided to Punjab? I think this is a question of priorities. There is already 4,200 crores of unused MGNREGA money lying in Punjab. Why is it not used? And it comes to
why
agriculture,
is it that we can't subsidize the technology? I think it's a very valid
only
point.
Only for agriculture you have
and
no money.
All the governments and the governments across the board, Punjab, Haryana, central government, Uttar Pradesh, all of them where this is happening, need to answer that question. It should have been possible by now to put economic incentives in, 2,000, 3,000 crore rupees if spent, which could save a million Indian lives. Actually, just think of that number. 2,000, 3,000 crore rupees spent properly may have an impact in something which is causing a million Indians to die. Is it worth spending that money? I would think it's a no-brainer. For some reason, the government doesn't seem to feel that.
You're only talking about deaths. You're not talking about people who are rendered disabled.
Oh, I got very valid point. How many more would that be?
For everyone who dies, there are 10 who are actually disabled and suffering. We lose from all these things over $300 billion worth of man days just because of illness from these facts.
$300 billion is being lost, as you're rightly saying, man days, morbidity, health issues, treatment, cost of treating lung cancer, not that simple.
Let me say this.
200, 2,000 crore rupees is a drop in the ocean.
The starting point basically is you got to care. Who is caring?
Let me just get Rahul, Ishwar and Sandeep Singh back in. Rahul, Sandeep, you know, these are sort of the things that, you know, instead of coming, Sandeep, and protesting on Diwali Day, which I'm glad that you're coming to Delhi on Diwali Day, but perhaps a lot of that effort can be directed into making sure that some of these other things are done. Because at the end of the day, it's not about the crackers themselves or anything else that where the problem is coming. What people are saying is it's an emergency situation. We got to solve this before, as he says, it gets much worse. So how about helping add some firepower to sort out other issues?
As I earlier said, if banning 3 hours of Diwali crackers could solve problem of Delhi's pollution, I'm all for it. But we all know it's a lie. You know, we are just trying to paint a picture that we are doing something, and why not hit at Hindus? That's how I look at it, because Supreme Court judgment, I don't want to give examples, but there are many examples like this where they have been biased. And that's what makes me say it's their judgments. If all the intellectuals and all the NGOs, those who have been running after the Diwali festival, they would have focused on rest of the issues like the transport, the power pollution from power plant, or the issues in the farmer burning crop in Punjab and Haryana, we would have solved the problem. But the agenda is not to solve the problem. That's why I say the agenda is to hit the Hindu festivals, and that's why we are here, where what we are discussing today.
Give you more. I don't know why you're giving it a religious hue. This is a human problem. Even every Hindu, every Muslim, every Sikh, every Christian is going to suffer the same fate. So why is it against one religion? You can find alternatives. You can say symbolically we can do this. Diwali is a festival. Sir, it's not a festival to perpetrate killing on people. I don't think it's written in any book that you celebrate something to kill other people. I think this is a very, very irresponsible statement that you've made. And I don't think you should continue to do it religious.
Dr. Thrayan, with 83% of the population being Hindu, I assume that 83% of the people who come to you with lung cancer or lung problems would be Hindus.
Absolutely. I'm saying everybody will suffer. Our children will suffer. Am I not a Hindu? Why are you saying we don't care? We are saying today something has come in focus. You already have a big problem. Why can't we make a start? And in the beginning I said, the biggest problem is that we don't sustain the campaign against all the other things. We only wake up when the danger signals go up, okay, and we can't breathe ourselves.
Rahul Ishwar, you're trying to say something.
At the end of the day, human life is more important than any Hindu festival. As a proud Hindu, I concede. But at the same point of time, when justice or verdicts are given out, it should be given out in a non-partial way, or at least people should be convinced that it should be a regulation that is fair. It shouldn't be one-sided. It should be convincing for public at large. There shouldn't be a space for suspicion to make us believe that there are some systematic campaigns against our festivals only.
So can I? So can I just hang on?
Vikram, is he casting aspersions on the integrity of the Supreme Court and the judges who given the order? Ask him.
Are you? Sandeep, you seem to be.
Absolutely no. I'm a, you know, Supreme Court.
So why are you
Supreme
saying
Supreme Court
biased?
Judges? Absolutely.
No. The whole argument.
Only questioning the verdict.
Sandeep is saying it's biased. Sandeep, you're saying it's biased. Why? He's asking whether you're casting aspersions on the Supreme Court.
It has to be impartial.
You know, Ashutosh is asking whether he's casting aspersion on Supreme Court. In this country, we said, Afzal Guru, tere katil
no, 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 no. First, answer my question.
Supreme Court.
No, no, answer my question. Answer my question.
Answer
my question. Are you casting aspersion on the Supreme Court? Are you casting aspersion on the Supreme Court?
I've answered your question.
You're not answering my question.
You are scared to listen.
No, 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 I'm not scared. I just asked point blank. Yes or no?
Okay,
where is Afzal Guru coming into this?
I'm not sure.
Vikram, just one second.
Because you have no guts to say the Supreme Court is biased.
Ashutosh Bansal, let him answer. Sandeep.
Second line.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very happy with Diwali without crackers. If the people in the same breath can say Eid only with sevaiya and no mutton, and Christmas only with cake and no chicken.
Rubbish.
Let's think about the
life. He has no guts to say that Supreme Court lawyers are biased. He has no guts to say that because you know the minute he says there will be contempt of court against him, he will be in jail.
Other animals' life doesn't matter to him.
It's communal life.
The same principle has to be applied everywhere.
Yeah, hang on. There's just to be respectfully. Can I just point out to you that at the end of the day, what I think would be a fair way to equate it with, to say, okay, have sevaiya and don't have, is nobody saying you shouldn't be burning diyas, nobody saying you can't do Saraswati, Ganesh, Lakshmi,
no,
Puja, no one
this.
Says you can't dress up, light up your homes, no one saying that. I guess, let me put it this way, Sandeep, let me just see if you would agree with this. I'm trying to put forward a thesis. October to February, there is a spike in air pollution in northern India. Anybody doing anything to make that problem worse should be asked not to do it. Now, whether it means burning crackers for Diwali or Christmas or New Year or any other festival or for a wedding, don't do it. It's going to make matters worse. Try and avoid crop burning. Now, whether you're a Hindu or a Muslim or a Christian or a Jew, burning crops, don't do it because it's going to be making pollution worse. If you're driving and emitting vehicle, don't do it, irrespective of who you are. Anything that anybody is doing to make this emergency crisis worse in this four-month period should be asked not to do it. What is wrong with what I have just said?
I'll tell you what is wrong with what
No, hang on. Let me ask him. What is wrong with what I've said? Sandeep?
No, I said nothing. Okay, as long as it's applicable to everything, to everybody.
Fine. So now, let's establish that principle. I'm so glad we've got that principle established. Now, we've established that principle. Therefore, let's not have crackers in this four-month period for anything. Let's not be, and now I'm going to turn to you. An extension of that is let's figure out everything else. So crop burning, let's try and find out how to do it. You're saying, okay, the economic incentives are required. Cracker burning, he's conceded now. As long as it's across the board, we should try and be careful of. Now let's think about the emergency measures. For example, controlling vehicular pollution. Why is it that we've been sleeping for a year on the passage of trucks and issues like that? Why is it that we don't have mechanized cleaning and sweeping of the roads so that dust is not hanging in the air? Why is it that construction site after construction site today in October, I will take you for a drive, Ashutosh, through Delhi, and you will see construction sites where people are working with absolutely no covering in front of them. That dust is coming and hanging in the air. All of these are wrong.
I fully agree with you. The government should have been more responsible. Government should have taken much more initiatives. I concede that point. But here is a hypocrisy in the system itself. Everybody knows that diesel vehicles are dangerous, much more dangerous than the petrol. There is a subsidy on this. There is an incentive for the people to buy those. It's there. It's still there.
Let me just turn to this audience, which is, I have to say, a long-suffering Delhi audience. Can I ask you, how many of you in this audience are genuinely scared and concerned about air pollution? All of you? How many of you in this audience, being a Delhi audience, think that it's that bursting crackers is more important than air pollution? Any one of you? How many of you agree with what the Supreme Court has done? All of you. Wow, that's a rather interesting thing.
How many of you have burst crackers last year?
Okay, you bursted last year. Will you burst it this year? No? Okay, fine. So it's an interesting dichotomy, by the way. People who are actually suffering are very clear which way they stand. How many of you think this is anti-Hindu?
Educate.
None of you. You know, it's really interesting, Rahul, this entire audience comprising of Hindus whose lungs are actually, I'm sure there's some non-Hindus out here also. I haven't done a religious sample out here, but I'm just saying statistically 80%
Yuvraj
of them would
Singh
be
put
Hindus.
Out a very nice appeal. I would definitely urge them to listen to the appeal.
Yes. Carry on.
But not ban.
Now, some of you, I'm just asking you, you're an audience in Delhi. So presumably, like the rest of us, you've been breathing Delhi air for your lives. How many of you are actually having breathing problems? Okay, tell me about it.
So I'm 17 years old and I've been living in Delhi since I've been born. I have bronchial allergy and it's not just me, it's my other family members too, like my grandmother and my sister. They both have been suffering from asthma since a very long time.
Does it get worse in the winters?
It does. It definitely does get worse in the winters, especially during Diwali. We have to close all our doors in the house and just be inside the house. I simply can't breathe.
By the way, indoor pollution can be worse than outdoor pollution sometimes.
It does, but if I step out of the house, I just can't breathe. I have to carry my inhaler with me all the time. We have air purifiers in our houses, but that's not helping. I mean, I simply can't breathe. And why do I have to pay such a cost?
Okay, last comments from everybody.
You've all answered all the questions. There is no policy. To have a structured urban governance, let's talk about rural through rural policies, but urban governance, as you rightly said, through North India, through the whole of India. Why was the metro created in Delhi in 1987-88? It was not created to improve traffic. It was created to prevent pollution getting worse because the choice was between Bengaluru, that time called Bangalore, and Delhi, and I had to pilot this. And I piloted it only on the grounds that if you don't have a metro in Delhi, you will all die of air pollution. And today we have to put in more money into infrastructure. The government has to put greater effort into things like what I said, road engineering and other things. Okay. Unless we do this, we are getting nowhere.
All right, we are getting nowhere. Let me get final thoughts from all of our guests. Rahul Ishwar, last quick thoughts from you on this program.
Air pollution is a very serious issue. It should be fought with innovative methods. There needs to be regulation, but restriction may backfire. We need innovative methods to fight, and that too, not only in Delhi, all over India.
Sandeep, last quick thoughts from you.
We need to be consistent in our approach and work on it right through the year, not only through at the Diwali time. And before you end on a lighter note, you know, don't show that Pakistan smoke coming to India. Supreme Court might put a restriction on Indian army to fire back at Pakistan.
Yeah, well, the air pollution coming from anywhere is a rather dangerous issue, but whatever. Look forward to having you here at Sandeep on Diwali Day and the day after that, and, you know, we'll get you to test your lungs just after that. All right, Devinder Sharma, last quick thoughts. And just to get a sense from you, Devinder, from what you're hearing on the ground, is there still massive crop burning happening there at the same level as last year, or has it gone down?
Well, first of all, about Delhi. Delhi, I think what I heard was brilliant from lots of people. All I'm saying is Delhi is a gas chamber. With or without firecrackers, Delhi is not a place to live with. I shifted 5 years back to Chandigarh, and I think I'm quite comfortable now. And so let's not only blame firecracker or the stubble burning for the problems in Delhi. Now, having said that, in Punjab, the farmers are in direct confrontation with the government. They are defying the orders to burn. And I think that has brought the issue to the limelight today. And I hope the government takes initiative to actually help the farmers with more support. And that's the only way to address this issue. Because don't forget, farmers are doing it because they have to produce the food for the country. And I think in that cropping pattern that has been evolved over the years, it's not their fault. Okay. It is the fault of the technology which brought in. And that is the combined harvesters. There is a solution available. Available for combined harvesters. There are combined harvesters which do both the job, cutting the stubbles as well as cutting the grain spike. And that is the kind of technology that we should have brought in instead of coercing farmers to stop burning. That is a technology which is available globally. And I don't know why Indian companies are not taking on that kind of technology, which is the solution.
Okay, we should have done that actually all these months. It's sad that we haven't, but okay, we need to do it.
Vikram, the bottom line is that we cannot begin every winter by being a doomsayer. And I think we need to look at this winter with little differently and see where the opportunities are so that you can channelize public awareness or support towards the action and ensure that it happens. Now, from that perspective, let's keep in mind, on 17th, Badarpur power plant is going to get shut. By December, all the industrial units in NCR will have to either not use the very dirty fuel or meet new standards for gases. The many brick kilns that use very conventional kilns are voluntarily shutting down in NCR. So like that, now with the graded response action plan, which is going to get kicked in from 17th of October, which means on a day-to-day basis at 11 o'clock in the morning, all state governments in NCR are going to get alert and for them to take immediate action on what's going on. Now, this is really our opportunity. We know what to do. We now even have a notified action plan, which is legally binding. Okay. The question is that of discipline in implementation and very careful monitoring and accountability. And that will have to be established now.
All right. So, as she's saying, we can hope that this year is going to be any better. But Dr. Trehan, I mean, medical advice is always welcome at this stage. What would you tell all of us to do other than try to avoid breathing for four months?
Let's bring it back into focus. The point is, the Supreme Court banned the sale of crackers. That does not mean we will not be able to buy them somewhere or the other. So the appeal that has to go out by all of us, including Right to Breathe, is to the citizens and the children. And I think if you want to make a change in this, you have to appeal to the children because they feel and they understand their future is also at stake. So I think we should say not only will we ban the sale, but we will not burst firecrackers this summer. Okay.
But then that's of only course, part of it, right? That will solve 5 to 10% of the problem.
It will solve this crisis. And I'm the first one to say it should be a sustained campaign across all the things that have been brought into focus. By the way, the Jhadu is the worst polluter. What it does is, you just walk by somebody.
Are you talking about his party? Are you talking about the party or are you talking about,
I was surprised.
I saw
a slight quizzical expression.
No. But I hope it's not like you kick up the dust. It infects everybody around because that all that dust that comes from the ground goes into the into the lungs of all the citizens.
So he should change the election symbol from a jhadu to a vacuum cleaner.
So if their jhadu cleans out corruption permanently, that's great. I hope it doesn't kick up and go settle down again. So basically what I'm saying is today, 2-3 things that are affecting us as citizens should be looked at very rapidly. And I, for one, always have felt that we always look up to the government to do everything. No government can control 125 crore people in this country. We need to activate ourselves. The future belongs actually to to your audience here today. And they are the ones who should take on the mantle from discourses like this to say, we shall take it and we shall do it. And I think, will make a big difference.
All right. That's all we have on this particular episode of The Big Fight. Let's watch the situation. Let's monitor the situation. It's a crisis across northern India every year. Anumita says, let's hope that some change will start to come. This year will be better than next year. Next year will be better than this year. Sometimes you have to hit the absolute bottom before you can start the recovery. Let's hope that this is the year when that recovery begins. Because at the end of the day, it is an absolute shame that in 2017 in India, you're still having the sort of air, which is the most basic of commodities to breathe, that we are being forced to endure across northern India. That's The Big Fight this week. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.